Welcome to the Public Handicapper Podcast. On this week's pod, we are handicapping the NYRA Cross County Pick 5 for Saturday, February 22nd. This is show number 52, February 21st, 2020. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Public Handicapper, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, how are you this morning?
Doing great. The weather starting to warm up a little bit out here, a lot more sunshine. I'm starting to feel like spring is in the air, or at least just around the corner. And I'm really excited about our special guest this week.
Indeed, we do have a special guest today. He's been the chief racing analyst for NYRA since 2008. He's a member of the broadcast team on NYRA and Fox Sports. He's the man Andy Beyer said, when he talks, bettors listen. He's Andy Serling. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate you guys having me on.
All right. Well, so this show, we're covering the Cross Country Pick 5. And Andy, wanted to ask you, I know that because I have a NYRA Bets account. Is it carried by all the betting services out there?
I don't think so, to be honest. I think it's I think it's probably player advantageous. In that sense, I believe that it's available at a lot of brick and mortar places. I'm not exactly sure which ADWs do or don't carry it. So it's probably not the right question for me. Believe it or not, I know people are going to find this hard to believe. There are things at NYRA which I'm not involved in, thankfully. In fact, most things. But I know it's available widespread because I do know a lot of people who play it in different places. I don't believe it's not just NYRA Bets exclusive.
Right. I mean, it's at least part of Oaklawn and part of Tampa.
Oh, sure. It's very much available. I mean, they send it out to everybody, but I think it's a very favorable for the player situation. It's also 50%
we'll ask around on Twitter.
Do that.
I'm just going to note that the cross country pick five is a 50 cent minimum. It paid $22,000 for that increment 2 weeks ago and $10,000 the week before. So go ahead.
I randomly somehow know two of the four people that hit it for $22,000. Either they're lying or I actually managed to know personally two of them just randomly. Pretty amazing,
all right.
Actually.
All right. It's fantastic.
A part of it, $6,000. Yeah.
Well, and, I'm just wondering, was one Andy Serling? Was that one of the random two people? No.
Okay. No, I am not. I'm not. I'm random, but I didn't randomly hit it. No, I was not smart enough to come up with that long shot in the turf race at Tampa.
Yeah, I mean, only four people had that pick five. So, you know, two of them. That's
I know. It's one of my elbows. Stopped right by my office yesterday. I know. It's just sort of funny. Anyway, I have smart friends. I'm not smart, but my friends are smart.
Okay. And let me just ask you, especially since you did handicap this, will you bet the sequence and how much will you invest?
I doubt I'll put in more than $120 into it. It depends. I mean, you know, in looking at these races, and you guys have looked at them too, particularly I think there's one race at Oaklawn where scratches could affect it, though they don't seem to have a lot of scratches there. So assuming they stay together, I in my mind, I could probably put something reasonable in for a little over $100. I'll take a look at it. It's hard also because we're doing a show on Fox on Saturday, and a lot of my attention is focused on that. But I'll try to put something in. I mean, it seems like a fun sequence. I don't know what you guys thought, but I thought it was sort of interesting.
I think it's easily a five-digit payoff. I mean, I think it's a tough sequence. So yeah. It's worth taking a stab at. Chris, did you have any questions for Andy before we get going?
Well, it's more of a comment. I just want to tell Andy, I really appreciate the kind of commentary he does. He's not out there just trying to give out picks or kind of regurgitate what's in the racing form. He does his homework and really provides some insight around trips and track biases and things that players can use to help improve their own opinions. I just think that's a much better way to present the races to players and fans. And that's exactly what we try to do on this podcast, not so much give out picks, but try to point out the reasons why we like horses so that players can factor that into their handicapping, not just in this race, but maybe in future races. So now, I think Naira's lucky to have Andy. We're all lucky to have him. Really appreciate it. And really excited to have you on the show today.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Buttering me up actually does a lot of good. So I really do appreciate that. Look, I try. You know, we try. I think that something that often gets missed in the industry is you need people that are betters in these situations and not, you know, not listen, if somebody can only play the weekends and bet small, I respect that. But to have, I've been playing the horses for a long time, for better or worse, and try to bring a better perspective to it. So we try to, because the people listening, it's, as you say, picking winners is a tricky pursuit, but you try to sort of get the right direction going more than anything else. And as you say, something may or may not work today, but maybe it works at another time.
Exactly. And I mean, it's so much more fun. I mean, the high that we all like as horse players is to form your own opinion and then bet it and cash. I mean, that's the king of the world moment that your pal, Andy, the other Andy Beyer used to say. I mean, that's much more fun than taking some pick that somebody gave out and betting that and cashing. So, I mean, that's what we want people to experience, because that's what brings you back to, you know, day after day.
Yeah, it's a live crossword puzzle, right? You think you come up with the right answer, and then you find out you actually did, and you get paid for it. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, pretty sweet. All right, well, we'll get started then. We're going to start, just so everybody knows, the Pick 5 sequence starts at 4:15 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're playing it from California, it's 1:15 your time, so you got to get in for that. And we're going to cover two races at Tampa, two races at Oaklawn, and one race at Aqueduct. First race is the eighth race from Tampa Bay Downs. It's the Lightning City Stakes, 5 furlongs on the turf, purse of $100,000 for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. Andy, what did you think here?
I wasn't particularly clever in here. I mean, I think two horses that have to be on your ticket are the 6, Girl Knows Best, as well as the 9, Jean Elizabeth, who finished together on a turf sprint, whereas Girl Knows Best is a more accomplished turf sprinter. Jean Elizabeth was trying the turf for the first time. They ran around the track together. They ran fast. And they're the two horses to beat. I do, however, think that Escapade, the 11, is a must-use in there as well. For Jonathan Thomas. And I think she's the one that really figures she could maybe step forward. She had that good race behind talented horses at Laurel, 3 races back before going to California. So I really feel like 6, 9, 11 are sort of must uses, at least for me, whereas the 11 Escapade would probably be my top choice, maybe a little better price. Bottles or bigger prices I might throw in. I could use the 1 JoJo Air and the 10 Charmaine's Mia does come off of a real trip in her last race. I don't know if her best race is good enough, but I could have her somewhere there. Nothing too clever.
All right, Chris, what did you think here?
Well, I kind of agree with what Andy said about those three. That Jean Elizabeth, what a horse, just wins. They put her on scent, she wins. They put her on dirt, she wins. They put her on dirt, she wins. I mean, what a horse to own.
She's amazing.
To have that horse. Yes, very.
She's 13 for 19, and she's hit the board in all 19 of her starts and sprints, as you say, on every surface. That's actually incredible. But having speed keeps her out of trouble. But she is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of horse you don't hear anybody talk about because she's not winning Grade 1 races. But what a horse! I mean, that's the kind of horse you just love to own or ride or train. So
she's the second best Adios Charlie behind Pattern Recognition.
There we go. I like that. I should know you'll come up with all these obscure references. I'll have to look up a few of them.
Well, he won the Scar Mile, so he's near and dear to my heart.
So I do have one other alternative, which is kind of my favorite thing to do, is to see if you can get past those. And I think, you know, those are definitely the horses to beat. But the 3-horse Ambassador Luna is the horse that I landed on in here as the value play. I like this horse last time going against many of the same horses. I just think she's an improving horse that is very consistent. And she looked like she was getting the exact trip I was hoping for in that last race. She broke pretty well, got up all the way up in the third behind the two front runners who were battling out up front. And then for some reason, Luis Saez kind of looked over his left shoulder to see if anyone was coming up in the rail, if he could drop over. And right when he did that, the horse outside of him sawed him off and he just had to shuffle back and lost four or five lengths on the turn, heading into the turn. And she just never really got back in the race and they didn't really push her after that. So I'm going to excuse that effort. I liked her going into that race, so there's no reason why I shouldn't like her going into this race. And that'll just muddy up her form even more. So hopefully she gets a better trip in here. And if so, I think she could at least light the tote and, you know, maybe pull off the upset if she really fires, because I do think she still has some upside and her best races put her right there.
Her race two back was very good. I actually thought she's the one that caused the problems for the 10 Charmaine Me in this race and the 5 Thinking Cowtown, because I thought at the break of the turn, Louis kind of came in on them. I'll watch again and see for the horse that maybe cut them off or somebody else is involved. But she was definitely involved in that situation, which affected two other horses that are back in this race.
All right. Well, I'm gonna pile on with Chris here, and my top pick will be Ambassador Luna. She's fast enough to win, and she had that problem, that trouble in her last race. The trainer actually does better at Tampa than Gulfstream, and she was working great going into that last race. So I think it's like a value inflator, that last race. And meanwhile, Girls Know Best and Jean Elizabeth had perfect trips. I mean, they did run fast, but they did have perfect trips. Now, I would absolutely include those two. I think that Jean Elizabeth might possibly be a little vulnerable just because she did run the fastest race of her life. She's carrying 124. So I certainly wouldn't single her, and I wouldn't even go narrow with her, because there's a possibility that she can't deliver this time. And she might also get completely pounded at, you know, under 2-1 based on all those incredible wins. But I would use them. The one other long shot that I'd be interested in including is Miss Deplorable. I know this one's kind of out of left field, but she's circling back to her top, which was an 89 buyer figure at Monmouth last September. She prefers to run near the lead and was off the pace in her last. She gets in light at only 118. The trainer, Baltazar Galvin, is 4-14 this meet. He has a 257 lifetime ROI at Tampa and a 330 ROI with jock Jose Lopez. So, you know, considering that she gets in light, the pace isn't going to be sensational, but she should be close to the pace, right behind the top two, if not like in between the top two. She's a sort of the long shot include that I'll add.
I'm not knocking long shots.
No, I just one other note on Ambassador Luna. She did have a very fast workout since her last race, the fastest she's ever worked anywhere. So I think that's a good sign too. So hopefully they'll have her forwardly placed and she gets a better trip.
She also is 1-1 at Tampa. All right, well, great. Now we get into Andy's country, the 7th race at Aqueduct. It's an allowance optional claiming. 1 mile on the dirt, a purse of $67,000 for New York breds, 4-year-olds and up. This time we'll let Chris start. What did you think?
Well, here I landed on a horse I like quite a bit. At first, I didn't think I liked this race much, but the more I looked at it, the more I liked it. And the horse that I decided I was the most interested in playing is the 8-horse Frosted Ice, who, as a 2-year-old, just destroyed a state bred stakes field going 7 furlongs. And then that was sort of something went wrong after that race and it was on the shelf for 6 months. And they came back and tried to run as a 3-year-old and just nothing happened. There was clearly some major physical issue. Back on the shelf for 6 more months. And then for some reason, they brought it back on the poly track at Turfway and it didn't really run much, but I'll excuse that off the bench on scent And then they ran, got it back to New York where it belongs, and it caught a sloppy track. Didn't ever look comfortable, kind of parked wide all the way through. Did put a little bit of a move on in the race, but it was definitely the best, the first time it's done any running at all since that big win as a two-year-old. And now hopefully it will catch a fast track, although I haven't checked the forecast. Maybe Andy can fill us in on that.
It's fine. It's fine.
So yeah. Hopefully a fast track. Given the big race it ran as a two-year-old, assuming it's developed some physically, now it's a man, it was just a baby back then, it's capable of running much faster, and I think it could run a really big race in here, third off the layoff, if it does get the fast track. That it's never routed, but that was 7 furlongs as a two-year-old going, and now it's a one-mile, one-turn race. Certainly should be able to get that if it fires, so... Could be a big price. I like Frosted Ice as the value in here.
Very nice. Frosted Ice, I wrote, could crush this field. Let price dictate whether you bet him, and he's 10-1 morning line. Andy, what did you think here?
You know, Frosted Ice is a funny horse. I'm afraid he can't run at all anymore, but he's on my tickets for a lot of the same reasons that you just gave to him. He's somewhere on my tickets, a B or a C. He was awful last time. That was a race that was just completely falling apart in the late stages, and he had absolutely nothing. It was dropped in his lap. I know it was a muddy sealed track, but I wish I could excuse it. I still am going to use him on the same principles that you like him somewhere. I don't have anything clever to say. I think that Joe Smoking Gun is the horse to beat in here. He's simply been running against better horses in his races, and he's faster than these horses on his recent races. And especially when you realize that Horoscope took advantage of a very advantageous trip against Lesser last time. Big mountains, big races were very much aided by bias racetracks. So he's really kind of a fraud and was a horrible 3-2 last time. His last race more indicative of his ability than his other races. Also, with Horoscope in here and even Carthon, he's not supposed to be just walking on the front end. So I think Joe Smoking Gun and Durkin's Call is sort of my top choice in here. I'm going to hope that he's a horse that doesn't appreciate moisture in the track. And last race, it was a race that was just completely dominated by horses that were closer to the pace. He actually ran well two races back when he closed into a race that was dominated up front, and he had this wide trip while the second horse came up the inside. And he does have fast enough races, and he's probably a little better going longer. So the two, Durkin's Call and Joe Smoking Gun, are my sort of main A horses. Playwright can win. I'll kind of use him as a backup along with your 8-horse Frosted Ice. Playwright did beat a vastly inferior field with a very soft trip last time, but he does have consistent races that are fast enough. I just think a horse like Joe Smoking Gun is better, and I'll use him in Durkin's Call mostly.
All right. Well, I'm gonna add another long shot here that I think has to be included. My feeling on this sequence is that there could be some real bombs, and especially in the first three races. So I'm going to go with Real Dan in this race. He's carrying 113, which means he's getting 7 to 10 pounds from the fastest horses, including Joe Smoking Gun. He's getting 10 pounds from Big Mountain. So he's definitely... He's going to have an edge based on that. He's 2-for-6 on fast tracks. He's 2-for-3 at Aqueduct. He has a win at 1 mile and 16th, and he ran his best workout ever coming into this. He started his career for Pletcher and won his first two races at Aqueduct. I'll note about the trainer that when he gets a new horse, I have a lifetime numbers here that says he's 2-for-5 with a 4.96 ROI. So that's a positive. He's in light. I think this is a horse that could blow it up and make it an instant 5-digit. So even if you used all the favorites in the other races and got this horse home, I think it could be a game changer. So Real Dan is my selection here.
It should be in like podcast Hall of Fame history if this horse happens to manage to win this race. It's going to be like the greatest moment in racing podcast history if this thing wins. Hit my hat to you just for picking him.
Well, Scott. 30-1, so I'm going to have win money too, just in case, you know, he does blow up the pick five, but then I lose in the last leg. So
Hey, Scott, so, I think Andy was saying, in a nice way, saying, what are you smoking?
Well, you know, last time I made fun of a horse that Scott liked, I was sitting poolside in Las Vegas, and I made a huge bet on a horse that lost his horse by a neck. So I got punished for that, so I don't want to go too overboard here.
I don't ever criticize long shots from anybody, but I've seen Scott pull some really crazy ones out of the hat, so I wouldn't be shocked. I do have a couple questions for you, Andy, on this race. One, Durkin's call, that real quick wheel back. What do you think about that from Bill Mott?
I'm not thrilled with it, to be honest. I'm not. He did so little running last time that I wonder if it really matters. But I wish he hadn't run his last race. If he was coming into this race off his race two back and he didn't have the race in between, I would like him more. I'm going to hope that in the Mott case, they don't do it very often, that it's not a major concern. You know, these quick turnbacks, I think we're so used to people waiting so long to run their horses back that we get scared of them. And I'm just not sure they matter. I mean, maybe it's a good sign, right? The fact that they're bringing the horse back and they think he can come back that quickly. But I am a little concerned. So I could look at it both ways. It's not something I'm thrilled about.
Yeah, it just seems unusual given that barn to see that.
I agree.
Wheel. Just one other question on the track, the last race for Frosted Ice, to me, he didn't look like he liked the track much, but was there any bias there, inside, outside, speed, closer on that day?
What day was that?
January 25th.
It'll take me 1 second. It's right in front of me. I do the track trends. I have it playing fairly. People were mostly off the rail, especially as the day went on, and the better running was done off the rail, and he was out in the middle of the track. So I don't have him, you know, at all disadvantaged by the racetrack.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah. I will absolutely include Frosted Ice in my play. And, you know, it was a muddy race. So he's had two races since he came back. One was on synth, and the other one was on mud, and he's only running it once, and he could have just hated it. So
no, I agree. I agree.
He's a playable horse.
He is, because he does, as you say. I mean, as a 2-year-old, he was almost good enough to beat these horses, and I think he's the kind of horse, especially if you liked him last time, I can see giving him one more chance. I'm not going to be surprised when he just can't run at all anymore, but I could also see him deciding that a fast track's much more favorable to him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you summed it up. He's sort of a high risk, high reward play in here.
Yeah, I mean, this is sort of it, right, for him. Like, if he can't run at least competitively in here, he's probably going to be running for a tag. And I think that they have to sort of decide, at least they get a fast track, to give him one last chance in a fairer situation.
This is his last chance, and interestingly, Junior Alvarado is not on the Mott horse and is on this horse. Even though he's never ridden for this trainer, he was secured for this mount. Okay, we'll move on then to the seventh race at Oaklawn. It's also an allowance optional claiming. 1 1/16 on dirt, purse of 88,000, 4-year-olds and up. Andy, your turn. What do you think in this one?
Well, this is a race where, you know, you have to make sure you're paying attention to scratches, because you've got two major players that are confirmed speeds in the four Nick's Go, who has to go, and My Sixth Sense, the 7, who's never won a race rating. I mean, he stalked a little bit last time, but he's never really sat behind horse and won. And obviously, My Sixth Sense really exploded first time off the claim for Steve Hobby, and I won't be shocked to see him win, but I think with the presence of Nick's Go, it's kind of hard not to see something giving. And, you know, Nick's Go, people are going to see the trainer change to Brad Cox, as well as Brad does, and I don't think Brad Cox needs me to explain that he's one of the top trainers in the game. He has lousy numbers off trainer changes. It seems that Brad's a guy that when he does well with horse he takes over, it doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. So to just see, oh, it's a trainer change to Brad Cox and say, I have to bet him, well, numbers don't prove that out. So while I'd want to use these two horses, you know, what if one gets left and the other one gets clear, I feel as though something has to give between them. And to me, either the 5 Street to Indy, who dramatically improved off the claim for Robertino Diodoro, who's crushing it down there, winning at almost 40%. And I know, you know, you missed the wedding with him last time, but I don't think the whole missed the wedding, you know, going to the funeral concept applies to multi-race bets. you, I don't think any of us are going to bet him at 3-1 in this race, but I don't think we want to let Street to Indy come back, run his last race, get the same perfect trip and win, and leave him off the pick five. And also Bruder Bob on the outside, who ran well and just lost to a better horse in Lone Sailor. He had a good trip last time, but with the 4-7 in here, aren't Street to Indy and Bruder Bob kind of supposed to get good trips again? And I really didn't find anybody else near I particularly liked. So I was going to lean on the 5 and 9 as my two A's and, you know, somewhere back up with the 7 and a little 4.
Okay. Chris, what did you think in this race?
Well, I agree that there is a chance that they could duel up front as the favorites. One thing I'll point out on Next Go, Joe Talamo's probably the worst gate rider in America that gets good horses. So putting him on this horse doesn't make any sense at all. There's got to be better riders. So that could compromise his chances. He may break slow and rush up, and it could be interesting to see how that develops. So I'm kind of with Andy. I would like to play someone to come from off the pace and see if you can't beat the favorites in here. I ended up on two horses that were different than the ones that Andy picked out, though. I kind of like Exemplar, the 2, who I think he's kind of a one-run closer, but maybe he can get a setup in here. This is the kind of race where if it develops the right way, he just might get that setup that he needs, and he'll be a big price. And he's definitely the horse with the best finish if he does get a setup. And it's not like he never wins or – you know, he wins his share of races and he hits the board quite a bit. So it's not like he's this plotter that always runs fourth or fifth. And so if he gets a setup, I think he could run well in here. And the other one I liked some was the 6 horse Arrival. Ingrid Mason's had a pretty good meet. This horse is in pretty good form. It's another that can come from off the pace. It won't be nearly as far back as the 2. It'll be more like mid-pack, but of the mid-pack horses, I think it has the best closing punch of that group. So those two are both big prices. I think they are possibilities if they get the right setup at long odds. But I'm hoping, ideally, that Nick's Go breaks slowly, rushes up, and he and my Sixth Sense battle it out really fast fractions up front and set it up for somebody to come from out of it.
I'll tell you what, the trainer with Exemplar really seems to be kind of confident with him, and maybe just no other race came up for him, but he brings him back and he runs him for the waiver, right? So he doesn't want to lose him for 40 after he's been running in lower claiming prices before the layoff, right? And then he comes back in here and he takes a much tougher spot where he's in for 50 and it's a super tough optional claim race. So I think with Exemplar, you are betting a horse whose trainer appears to like him. Whether or not it means he's good enough, I don't know. But I thought that was kind of interesting.
Very interesting, yeah. I went skinny in this race. I'm going to go skinny because I have to, because I'm going deep in the other races. And there's two horses that really stand out to me. One is the horse that Chris mentioned, Arrival. Not only was the horse fast as a 2-year-old, but even in its last race, it was pinched early. And I haven't watched the replay yet, but I will watch the replay just to see how bad that was. Still ran his best race ever on sheet figures. He was fast at 2 and can keep improving. And that horse is 15-1. The other horse that I'm going to use and just be skinny with is the other speed, My Sixth Sense. He's 1-for-1 at Oaklawn. He's 2-for-3 at the distance. He's 2-for-7 on fast tracks. Everything looks right to me, and I don't think that he has to absolutely have the lead. In fact, he didn't even have the lead at the quarter in his last race. Now he has an even better post with no other speed except for Nick's Go. So I think he could sit a perfect trip and you know, win at a low price, and I'm counting on the other legs to amp up the payoff.
Rival's a funny horse. Rival's one of those horses, I saw his name. You know, you see a horse's name, especially when you're looking at these tracks, you don't look at that frequently. You think, I remember this horse. And if you remember, he was a very hot 2-year-old for Mark Cassie. And I think he made his second start in Saratoga. And he was in a super tough race. I want to say that Pletcher won with National Flag, and perhaps I could engage have been in that race even. I'm not sure if he was in there, but it's a good race and he ran fourth. He was supposed to be a good horse. It didn't pan out, but he's obviously not possible here.
Yes, National Flag won that race and Engage was second.
Yeah. No, that was, I remember. Go ahead.
No, that was just to say that's the kind of obscure references I was waiting for, that you remember the race 4 years ago, a maiden race at Saratoga.
Well, I saw his name. You know, you see these names and you're like, geez, I remember that, you know, and then you look up and you see the horse was eight or something, right? And you look back and go, geez, I bet this horse in his debut or something when he was two. And he's had quite a life since then. And you just, you know, you lose track of these horses and they often get claimed or they get sold and they move away. But Arrival's one of these horses. I saw him and I thought, geez, I know this horse. And I almost feel like Frank Alexander years ago had a horse named Arrival, but my head's full of a lot of horses.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about Arrival is it's not in the racing form. I'm not sure why they don't have that info there. Maybe because he's a five-year-old, but he cost $800,000 at the Keeneland September yearling sale. So you're right. He was supposed to be, he was supposed to be fast.
Yeah, no, he was a highly touted horse. Because I think even in that race against National Flag, he wasn't a super big price. And there were a lot of horses taking money in that race.
And those kinds of horses that have some talent early on and then kind of tail off, but that when they start getting sharp again, like this one has really seemed to come back into form, they might have some improvement even as a five-year-old in them. So, that's a good, even though it sort of happened 3 years ago, it's still, you can factor that into your form analysis. And this horse isn't running that much faster now than it was back in the fall as a two-year-old. So you would think it might have a better race in it.
I'm actually looking back at him now. He was claimed on that race at Oaklawn, right? He ran a huge figure at Oaklawn. Was it last year? Yeah, his best race, I think.
Wow. And just an interesting jockey note. Martin Garcia rode Arrival and My Sixth Sense in their last races and is taking My Sixth Sense here. All right, so let's look at the 10th race at Tampa Bay. It's the fourth leg of the sequence. It's a maiden claiming, mile and a 16th on turf with a purse of $13,200 for three-year-olds. Well, a very interesting race and a wide open race. Chris, what did you think here?
Well, this is the race that will be a challenge to handicap. I saw on Andy's Twitter feed that he was getting some grief about this race being part of the Pick Five. It definitely spices it up. I like these kinds of races because there's always, some interesting angles that you can look into. And in this race, I did come up with a horse I like quite a bit, and that's the 7-horse Gator Posse. My bias is always towards horses that are not overly exposed, that have a lot of upside. And this is only his third start, or it is a he, right? Yeah, it's only his third start. And his debut, it was actually really good. He broke pretty well, but the rider, kind of took a huge hold on him. He was sort of water skiing with the horse, and the horse was fighting him the whole way, and he just would not let the horse run almost for 5 or 6 furlongs. And then finally, he kind of gave the horse its head, and it actually settled pretty well behind some horses. And when he tipped it out, it really took off and made a move on the turn and got up into a clear second place. And then kind of got goofy again in the stretch and ended up getting passed up by 2 or 3 horses. But it actually galloped out in front of the field. And so I thought that was a really good debut against similar kinds of horses. And then as a next start, I was going to play him back, and he drew the 10 hole. So I played him, but not really enthusiastically. And he was parked like 7 wide at first turn and never really, he was wide all the way through. Didn't really do much running, but I'm willing to forgive that trip. And he now gets Lasix for the first time and a better post. And if he just runs back to his debut, he can hit the board in here. And if he improves off it, which he certainly should be able to in only his third start, there's no reason why he couldn't win it. And he's like 15-1 on the morning line. So this is the kind of horse that can blow up, the cross-country Pick Five, I think, the 7-horse Gator Posse.
I'll just add about Gator Posse. The trainer is 1 for 48, first time Lasix, but he has a second at 60-1 on the Tampa turf. What did you think here, Andy?
poor Gator Posse. I like them too. Should probably scratch them. I agree with all the stuff you were talking about with him. He got a ridiculous ride last time. I mean, the guy just made no attempt at any point to try to save ground. And the fact that he finished 10th, I actually like, because he was so ridiculously out of it that it doesn't make any difference to me where he finished. I don't really know that his last race is perceptibly worse than his first. And I agree with everything you said about this horse. I think he's a huge player. I think these are good races. I agree with everything Chris was saying. You know, I mean, a horse like Danville, the one I suppose could win. He gets a rider change. He draws the rail. But I think Speaker It, the 3, has to be used. I want to use the 9 Mysterio for Grand Motion. You know, I was looking up something. Grand Motion had another horse for the exact same connections, owner, jockey, whole thing, that I think won its second start in a maiden claiming at this meet and a turf route for Graham. It's like the only one he has that's won, but same connections. And this horse just got, you know, sort of a no chance trip and was completely out of it. I think he'll run better. I was going to use 3, 7, and 9. I mean, there are other horses who can win. And I do think this is a race where you probably want to have protection, but I'm with you. I mean, like, they'll bet a horse like Doko, the 4, right? I know he's got races that are faster. He just never wins. And I think that there's an opportunity here to get a bit of a price. So 3, 7, 9 for me. And I like Gator Posse as well.
All right. Well, maybe we're not going to get 15-1 on Gator Posse because he's my pick as well. So that's 3 of us. It's a triple barreled. If he comes in, we're going to, Twitter's going to blow up.
He should be 30-1. 3 of us. Make
Yeah, right.
That's a lot of weight to carry for one horse.
It is a lot of weight, but you know, with a name like Gator Posse, I'm good with us being on him. I will just mention some other horses. I don't really have anything to add to the Gator Posse discussion, but I would go deep in this race because they're all about the same. They're all about as fast as each other, and this is the kind of race, these maiden claiming turf races. This is the kind of race that can be a real separator. So without going into like all the different options on the horses, I'm just going to mention that I will be going deep in this race, and I'm going to include Danville, Lunig Ree, Speaker It, Doko, O'Hare, Agrippino, and Mysterio. The one thing about Mysterio, he will get bet, and he did have trouble in that last race, but you know, maybe he's a head case and he also starts out wide. So I wouldn't single him. I wouldn't go too skinny in this race. But I would include him. I mean, you have to include a Grand Motion horse out there in Tampa.
Yeah. It'll be real interesting. Well, I hope Gator Posse wins. And I hope he pays a price. I mean, he was 10-1 last time, so you would think he'll go off at a good price, but we're all landing on the same horse. So I'm a little nervous about the price on that horse.
Well, if we're all landing on it, that means a lot of other people out there probably are landing on him as well, but I don't think he could be that short in here. And also, I think I agree very much with Scott saying, you have to spread in this race, and it's hard for any horse. And, you know, it feels like most horses in this race will be a reasonable price. I think you probably get a little negative value on long shots and maybe a little positive value on shorter priced horses in a pick 5 sequence like this, right? Where a lot of people are spreading. This is probably the biggest spread race in the whole sequence.
That's a good point. In fact, that's one of my strategies a lot of times is to try not to spread in a race like this. Either, you know, pick 1 or 2 horses and just, you know, go down with the ship if you do, but if you spread, you're kind of going with the crowd in this race, I think.
Yeah, but I would say that considering it is a cross-country pick 5, so it's more likely to pay higher because people are they're using tracks that they may not be playing regularly, and I think the other races have so much potential value that you would hate to see a 10,000 pick 5. Come in with Mysterio winning the race. So you know, just based on the numbers, that's why I want to go deep in this race, because I think most of these horses can do it based on their past numbers.
It going in, it looks like the biggest survival race. It feels like the one race. I mean, we may be wrong in every race besides, but it's the one race where it's hard to have a strong opinion. So I think it, more than any other race, you're just trying to survive this leg. You may have opinions, but you're still trying to get through it.
All right. We'll go to our last leg. It's the ninth race at Oaklawn Park. It's a stakes race. It's the Down the Dusty Road Breeders' Stakes. 6 furlongs on dirt with a purse of $125,000 for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up. So it's very bizarre that there's a stakes race with three-year-olds and up in February. But, you know, this is Arkansas. So, and it is for Arky Breds. There are only 2 3-year-olds in the race. Andy, where did you land?
I won't be using the 3-year-olds. I was fairly logical in here. My main horse is the 2 Blush and Bella. I mean, you've got Robertino Doro, who seems to be winning everything down there, and he's a guy you don't want to get in the way of. And this horse has races that are fast enough to win anyway. And he clearly claimed this horse for this race, absolutely in mind. So I'm using her, and I'm using a horse who I think was favored in this race last year, but lost, George's Reward, who got a perfect prep race against much tougher last time out. And I want to use the trainer change, who was a you know, reasonable 3-year-old last year. It might be the horse to beat, the 9 Bye Bye Jay. I mean, Bye Bye Jay just has races last year that would crush this field. I don't know if she's going to run to them, but geez, I mean, she would annihilate these horses if she ran any one of 4 races she ran last year. Can't hurt to go to Steve Asmussen, even though his layoff numbers aren't great. But to me, 2, 3, 9, they're just very much the logical horses, and I just would take the 2 on top because the price will be best, I think.
All right. Well, I can't argue. It's a very evenly matched race, and it's a tough one. Chris, where did you land here?
Well, I just want to make a couple notes. One, this is $125,000 purse, and if you look at the horse in the race, it's just mind boggling. They probably couldn't win a $10,000 claimer, you know, at most racetracks, and the horse who Andy picks and could be the favorite, certainly be one of the top wagering choices, Blushing Bella, was just claimed for $8,000. Right. Now it's running for $125,000, you know, without a tag, in a race that it'll be one of the favorites. Just seems crazy. But I agree with him. Diodoro's been red hot. So that's one of the horses to bet. But it does seem like Bye Bye Jay just absolutely over, you know, lays over this field. Even it just seems really much the best in here. And you would think Asmussen would have the horse ready to take advantage of this, you know, big purse and weak field. So those two do seem pretty solid as favorites, but they will be favorites, I think. So
you're saying I'm not going to get the 8-1 morning line on Blushing Bella? Is that what you're telling me, Chris? You're ruining my day. Gee, she looked like such an obvious 8-1 shot to me. I'm shocked.
Yeah, I'm sure you were really counting on that.
Seems a little high to me too. I'm with you.
But it's just the fact you could claim a horse for $8,000 and then run it back with this kind of an opportunity. It's just turn out to be a pretty darn good investment for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I you know, tried to dig through, and I think they are all kind of the same after those two. But I did like the 8-horse Superstar B a little bit. This horse has been pretty consistent, cuts back from a mile, has, you know, it's not a one run closer. It pretty much runs its race every time. And, you know, to me at a 10 or 12-1, it has as good a chance as any. Same with 7 Dixie Flyer is another one who kind of runs its race most of the time. It ran a terrible race last time, but I think it has an excuse. It kind of got caught up in a really fast pace, and now it cuts back a little in distance. So, you know, to me, those two horses at double-digit odds have as good a chance as anybody after the two that I think will be the favorites. So, you know, those are the ones I would include in my pick 5, along with the 2 and the 9.
Well, let me add a few notes on Superstar B. She does get in light. The last race was at 2 turns and should set her up for a nice return to the distance. She has a win at Oaklawn. She's 7 for 10 in the money at Oaklawn, and she's circling back to her best race. So So she's a must include for me. I am going to land on one other horse that hasn't been mentioned as my top pick, and that is Dutch Treat, who is 2-for-11 at Oaklawn, 5-for-11 in the Exacta, had trouble in her last race, and that was third. That was second off a layoff. So had some trouble. So now is coming in third off a layoff, and I think she has some speed. She can be close to the pace without having to have the lead. And she has a good post. And the trainer, William Van Meter, is 4-for-9 in the meet. It's interesting that he's put in the 3-year-old who doesn't get really any weight. She gets 2 pounds. That's Sakani is the horse, the other horse that he has. The horse only gets 2 pounds from these older horses, which is kind of crazy. I think it's sort of the other Van Meter in this race. And I think that she can win this race at a big price. And it could be a tremendous payoff going into this race. And I will probably not use Bye Bye Jay just because the bad record, and I think I'm going to have to go deep in other legs. So what I'm more inclined to do is just wait. And if I'm alive, then do one hell of a backup bet on Bye Bye Jay.
Dutch Sheet did get totally eliminated last time out. I don't disagree with you. Whether or not, I don't know how this horse can be anywhere pace competitive, but we'll see.
Yeah, interesting thing about Dutch Treat. She used to be a pretty solid horse, and she liked Oaklawn. Let's see. She's 5-for-11 in the Exacta, and 3-for-6 in the Exacta at the distance. So, you know, she used to be like an Oaklawn horse that was bet a lot. Last year, she was bet a lot, and she just hasn't gotten back into her form. I think it's hidden, and the third off the layoff could be the surprise.
All right. I hope you're not alive and lose to the Asperson horse out of a nice pick 5 long shots.
I will bet 1,000 to win. If I'm alive, I'll bet 1,000 to win on Bye Bye Jay. I'll say that right now.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments on this race, Chris?
No, except for I would not leave Bye Bye Jay off my tickets. The horse, if it fires, can crush these. So I'm not saying it will. There are some question marks, but you know, this is such an opportunity, $125,000 in this field. I would think they would want to have the horse ready to run pretty well.
I agree with all of that. And I agree with all of it. I think your 2 long shot throw-ins, the 7 and 8, they were C's for me as well. I said a lot of similar things that you did.
Okay. Well, before we end it, I just want to ask if either of you has any spot plays that you love on Saturday that you think people should bet.
I have not been loving any horses recently. I find it tough to be in love with horses during the winter. So what I mostly do is look for, you know, sort of horses end up being prices and trying to bet them. So you're not going to find any super strong opinions from me. I apologize for that.
That's okay. I don't have anything either.
I did have one in the turf sprint stakes, the 6th at Tampa. This is the earlier turf sprint stakes. It's too bad this wasn't included in the cross country pick 5, but I think it was a little too early in the day. I like a long shot in there, the 4-horse oldies but goodies. The horse is 15-1 on the morning line. It has some fast races in the past. It ships in for Trombetta, and it had some trouble in its last race, and it was caught a sloppy track before that. So I think it has some excuses for its last few, and it has the tactical speed where it can lay close and finish in this race. And at that price, I think it's a must play. The number 4 oldies but goodies in the Tampa Bay 6th race.
Okay. Noted that the 4 oldies but goodies could ring the register. All right. Well, before we wrap it up, I just want to extend our hearty thanks to Andy Serling for appearing on our show. Andy, it was a lot of fun. Thanks for joining us.
I had a great time. Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun. Enjoyed it. Hope we can do it again.
Fantastic. Hopefully we will have provided some good winners And if we did, we'll talk about them on Twitter. That will conclude show number 52 of the PH Pod. Good luck this weekend, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.
Giddy up.